Welcome to Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. My name is Billy Alvaro, aka the Unstoppable VA, former billion-dollar mortgage banker, gone bankrupt, turned professional real estate investor, where each week you'll learn the tools, strategies, systems, and secrets myself and other highly successful real estate investing entrepreneurs use to start, grow, and scale their businesses, creating massive profits, and how you can too. And we'll teach you how to put those profits to work so you no longer have to. Get ready to finally experience financial freedom and generational wealth. Now let's get started. Welcome back. Billy Alvaro, the Unstoppable BA. And I appreciate you taking time out today to listen to Unstoppable REI Wealth. Been at this game now for 13, 14 years investing in real estate. And it is my passion to just absolutely give all I have to my audience that's out there. Now, you're going to see today, I'm a little reserved. If you're not seeing me, you're hearing me. I'm a little reserved. And that's because I am beat the F up with COVID. I've been on my ass for the last 5 days. And the gentleman who I'm going to be having coming on next, he was actually my guest last week when I just got hit with COVID. And just happens that we were talking and the system just blew up. And it was like, I guess the big guy's way upstairs is saying, hey, we're going to cut this short because your unhealthy ass has to go get some rest. So he was grateful enough to come back today. I'm going to bring him on in just a second, but this is your first time listening to the show. I want to thank you. I know you have multiple things that you could listen to. And if you don't know me, check me out. Go to the first couple of episodes. I give you my story of why, how I get into this business, the failures, the ups, the downs, the sideways, and what the purpose of the show really is. And it really is just to give. It's to get you, those that are listening, to teach you how to start, grow, and eventually scale your real estate business, whatever that business may be. Whether it's a buy and hold segment, a fix and flip, or wholesale, even apartment buildings, there's a little bit of everything for everyone. Today, the guest that I'm going to be bringing on, let me bring him in right now, this handsome bastard. Here he is, Justin Silva. How you doing, buddy?
Good, sir. Good to see you back and feeling somewhat better. You were looking rough last week.
God, I'm still looking. I look like I got smacked in the face with a bag of assholes, bro.
You do. You sound better. Your energy looks better. You have better color. Last week you looked bad, and I was worried for it. I was like, "You sure you want to do this?" You're like, "Ah." Somebody else, like you said, was watching out for us to make sure that we got you that rest you needed. I'm glad they were.
Yeah, I'm glad to get you back on this week. And I know we had some technical difficulties last week, but Justin, look, you know, you're the first person I'm having on this show that you really have a niche, and your niche is land flipping. I think you do a little bit of development as well, but you're really a land flipper.
Yeah.
So let's get into your backstory. How did you get into this? And then I really want to start picking your brain because I know there's a segment of our audience who's going to be interested in how you do this because your niche is not just flipping land in your backyard. You're doing this in 40 plus states.
Yes, sir. That's the fun part about this is when we talk real estate, we say everybody's got a niche and you don't hear land talked about as much. And the cool thing for me is it doesn't have the tenants, the termites, the toilets. You don't have any of that. And it's just raw. It's out there. And there's so much of it. You drive down the freeway, you see land everywhere. And it's interesting how we got here because I think a lot of your listeners will resonate. We all have these little side hustles and side niches that we get into. And since corporate America, I've had one always going. And we've done, you know, private label products. I owned a supplement company for a while. And me and my partner that I have the podcast with now, we've had our podcast for 300 plus episodes, Casual Fridays REI.
Congrats, by the way. Congrats, by the way. That's a good feat, man. 300 episodes. You've been at it for a while.
Yeah, we're 325. I think it's 325 or 328 this week. We shot three a week for 2 years and then backed it down because we had so many other projects going on that we needed to open up the time. So we had an Amazon dropship. Everybody know you see the internet gurus talking about fulfillment by Amazon. We had one of those. We had three number one products and we weren't making near the money we thought we should have been making off of it. It was a grind. We weren't making much, but he was a real estate investor back before the crash, 2007, 2008. And it's one of my best friends. We've known each other since high school. And he comes up and he's like, "Hey man, I want to get back into real estate investing." I was like, "Great." He's like, "We need to liquidate the Amazon company." I'm like, "Great. We're getting into real estate investing." He said, "Nah, bro, I'm going to do it on my own." I was like, "What? Okay." So he sends out his first mail thing and he's getting all these 5-acre properties back for $500. And I'm like, "Dude, I've got cash. If you have 5-acre properties for $500, I will buy as many as you can put in front of me." And he's like, "Well, why don't you just do it too?" So I talked to my wife. She was a school teacher. We had twins, didn't really want to go back to work. I was like, "Let's start this thing for you. It'd be a perfect little side hustle. I'll put up all the money. I'll help you where I can." And we get to work. We send out our first big marketing push. It was late 2016, people started calling back and they started hating. Like they was just mad because we were offering pennies on a dollar for their land. We send blind offers off. So it's a little bit different than what a lot of people do to fill our inbound pipeline. And she said, Justin, I'm not going to do it. I don't want these people talking to me like that. Me and an old man from Louisiana, he said, I'm not going to sell you my land over my dead body. And I told him, I said, hey, man, put that offer next to your will. Because when you die, your kids ain't going to want your property. Sell it to me. And I might as well. You've already said over your dead body. So we're here. And he goes, man, he goes, are you an ass? Or he goes, you're a smart ass, aren't you? I said, man, my dad says the same thing. He kind of laughed. I laughed. My wife goes, I'm not doing that. And he goes, I'm not selling you my land. I said, nah, no worries, bud. We'll be friends. So moving forward, we got 21 properties off that first mailing blitz. We sent out, 2,500 blind offers when we did that. Bought 21 properties. And so that was going through January, February, March. Well, April, I get that Friday morning phone call from my vice president of HR. I was the chief operating officer, what we call in the short line, a general manager. So executive level, she calls me, says, hey, I need to talk to you. I was like, HR don't get there at 6:45 in the morning. She knows, yeah. I get there at 6. So she comes in. Long story short, I sign a separation agreement. And I don't have a job anymore. And I've got this.
What year was this, Justin?
2017.
Got it.
So I'm sitting there and I remember it vividly. And I hear in your backstory, banker to bankrupt there and you having to start over. I know you had a pivotal moment where you sat there. And for me, I was supposed to go to a music festival that night. I'm sitting by the pool. Lights are kind of down. I'm feeling like a loser. I don't have a car because I had a company car part of my compensation. I've got a wife and two kids inside. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, what am I going to do? And I was like, well, you got this company. I got enough money to live for the next year. How about I just take 6 months of living expenses, move it to the side, and then I throw everything else I have at this game and see what happens. And that was 2017. So April 21st will be 4 years since that moment. And here we are later, just turning deals. We've done 500 plus deals in 40 plus states.
That's amazing, bro. Like, that's amazing. In 4 years, 500 plus deals. So
yeah,
you said a couple of things that I just want to go back and really suck some more information at you.
Yeah.
First, you said that your partner was buying properties, 5 acres for 500 bucks. Like,
yeah.
Where was the property?
Yeah. Like, so that he was buying stuff. He was buying stuff in the desert. And so like Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, places like that. We have since kind of transformed our business into what we call a bass boat property. But early on, we were sending out $100 offers in desert counties and we're getting it and people were buying it and we're reselling it for $300 to $500 an acre.
No shit. So you were tripling, quadrupling your investment. Small deals, but doing multiple deals. Okay,
yeah. I see. Yeah. So when you talk about a side hustle, when somebody's getting started in this, it's not like an apartment complex where you're thinking, oh, Grant Cardone, 10X everything, make millions and millions. Man, if you can hit solid $5,000-$10,000 deals, and you do it once a week and your risk is really low.
Yeah.
It's a very approachable niche for the regular person. I mean, we talk real numbers and not bullshit people. 85% of people don't have $5,000 to their name. So if I can take
it's scary.
Yeah. So if I can say, hey, here, put $500 to work here, you pay for your marketing and stuff, and then you can turn that back into $2,500. So now you're talking a number somebody can tolerate. It's a little easier to sell your wife on a new business that you're only putting after education and all that crap, but just you're buying an asset for $500 to $2,500 and you can get started from there. So
you said something else, which I really want you to go deep in.
Okay.
So you said blind offers. I know what that means, but tell the audience what that means and how you structure your blind offers to go out to these sellers.
That's a great question. And I'm going to kind of go on a little bit of a tangent so you can kind of understand why I do and how I do what we do. So we have a property type that we call a bass boat property. Bass boat property, when you work in an office, you always have those guys that have that extra thing they like to do, whether it's a ride their Harley Davidson, have their second sports car, have their camper, have their bass boat, that thing that's $40,000 to $50,000 that they can afford a $200-$300 a month payment on. So we shop that type of property for the person that lives 2 to 3 hours, that wants to go 2 to 3 hours outside of their major metropolitan area, go camp, hunt, ride their four-wheelers there, buy an investment for their wife to be okay with, but they can go brag about it on Monday. So what we do is we take 2 to 3 hours out of a major metropolitan area. It says, hey, we want something that's got maybe some topography, some trees, someplace you may hunt, you may fish, and we send out a blind offer. We send a 2-page letter that's a piece that introduces us and then a property offer that's got a contingencies in it. And we send them a price, like dollars and cents, like right then. So they get it. They open the letter. They go, what if they want to buy my land? They go to the second page. Oh, there's an offer right here. There's actually a contract we can sign to get this thing moving. And so they know what our offer is. The cool thing about this is it qualifies your lead when they call you back. So when you talk about sending out like a neutral letter or postcards, like a lot of people teach to do, they call you and say, yeah, I want to sell my land. Oh, you want to give me 10 grand? No, I want 100 grand for it. And now you don't have a hot lead. So this qualifies a lead. So if I get somebody to say, hey, I offered them 10, they call me back. They know I'm at 10. They say, hey, Justin, I want to sell the land, but 10's not going to get it. Would you do 15? Now I have a hot lead. I know where they're at. We know where we're at. Now we just got to figure out if we can make that deal work.
So, I love it. It's probably, what do you have, like a calculation built into some sort of a spreadsheet that?
Yeah. Two ways. The old school way we used to do it is we would go through and take all the comps on the market, figure out what our price per acre is, and then we would make that a price per acre, then multiply times 0.3 if we're doing 30% or 27 or 32%. The fun thing is, since we've got into this, we have taken our algorithm and our pricing and worked with another company. They've started an online to where a couple clicks and I can have a completely state priced and data scrubbed in seconds. We worked real hand in hand with a company called Priced, PRYCD.com. And they've done it and they pull from over 2.5 million comps now. So it's a really cool little tool that we've helped develop. And as such, it's made our life a ton easier.
And that's PRYCD.com?
P-R-Y. Yeah, CD.com. Yeah, those guys, they're brilliant kids. I say kids, they're younger than me, but brilliant guys. And they've really taken all the feedback and everything and built this really cool little platform.
And so this thing, what? It's like it's an offer generator where you can just plug the information in, it automatically has the algorithms, figure out what the offer should be, and then generates the letters and sends it out?
It generates the file that you send to your print house, and the print house takes it and it mail merges it and sends it.
God, dude, I love technology.
Yeah.
The kids today that are getting into this business have no freaking clue how lucky they are, because it is easy, bro.
Oh, yeah. Right. So when we started this, we had to learn how to find properties by reading legal descriptions. I don't know if you've ever read legal descriptions before, but if you get in some states like Kentucky, they'll be like, Betty Lou's tree to the house that died in, to the rock that's painted green, to this. And you're trying to find that on a map? No way in heck. But now we have GIS softwares that work that came from the oil and gas industry that we're able to overlay and stuff. So we can use technology to really help our niche. And it's really grown what we've been able to do as our business over the last 5 years.
I love it. So now I want to get into the next thing you said, before I get into that. So the blind offer piece, how many of these are you sending out? And on average, how many are you getting back in on a monthly basis saying, hey, we're in the same ballpark, let's negotiate, make this deal happen? What are those numbers look like?
Man, that's a great question. And so it kind of depends on your asset class. So I want to, when I say this number, somebody's going to say, well, Justin said one for 1,000. Well, if you're doing the cheap desert stuff, you get better than one for like 400, 500, you get back that you're going to get a deal on. The asset class we're in, we're about 1 to 1,000 right now. So I close for every 1,000 blind offers I send, I'll close on one deal. And if I go bigger than that and I go into like the bigger, higher end properties, typically it's about one for about 5,000. So your cost in that one letter is about 46 cents, depending on how many you buy, 50 cents, just call it rough math. So a $2,500 into a deal that you're going to make 20 or 30,000 bucks on is not too bad.
So your average deal right now is making you yielding how much?
Right now, our ROI over everything is 135% return on investment. Money in, money out is about 100 days. So
100 days in and out.
Yep. So 100 days in and out, that's money wired in, money wired back out. And we're turning them at 135% ROI.
Got it. So earlier when you were saying that you did 21 properties with the 2,500 mailers, that's that small crappy desert shit.
Yep. Yeah. We offered $125 an acre there. Bought 21 properties. Off those 21 properties, we made about $70,000, which
that's incredible, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a $500 investment. I mean, yo, the guys right now in the hard real estate space, single family, they're not making that at all.
No.
Like, I don't know where you're going to spend $2,500 to make 70 G's.
Yep. Yeah. No, we sent 2,500 letters out. We spent $1,200 in marketing material. I want to make sure we're at that 50 cent mark, but it's
damn, bro.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about that at a scale, it's like, okay, well, I could build out a team and deal in nothing but that and just keep churning it out. And there's a lot of guys that do that business. For me, I like looking at stuff a little bit different and putting my money to work on better deals and have a little bit better asset class. So we buy these ranchettes that we're buying. Our average purchase price is about 15 to 20,000 bucks, and we're selling them for $45,000 to $60,000. And we just continually churn those one a week. And that's a good living to me. We are able to put that money to work in other things and keep moving.
I mean, look, man, you seem happy. You seem stress on your face.
Yeah.
You have a big team, a small team. Like, what does your team look like?
Yeah. And that's it. So we've got, since I've got several different legs of the business, everything is set up with professionals that are kind of, I want to call them a subcontractor, but that's essentially what they are. Like my phone service is, I have a service in Florida that answers the phone 24 hours a day. They email me the lead. So I look at it. From there, I do a four-step due diligence piece and it goes to a title company to handle the back end. So they get paid per product that they do. My marketing team, I typically use a land broker in the area. I have the channel set up to do it myself, but there's a way to leverage a buyer's list. And so you'll have people that work on these smaller crappy properties and they'll have build a buyer's list and do all this stuff on Facebook. I've taken the stance that it's easier for me to use a professional in that area that has a buyer's list. They have all the channels set up. I will help them with some marketing material. Like I'll go get a drone video for them. So they have that marketing material. And then I'll geo target with Facebook. So the old neighbor letters, if you will, I'll take those and put up a geo target 50 mile radius around the property itself and then the major metropolitan areas and then boost those posts. But I drive it back to the agent versus coming to me. So it's my company name going to the agent and he or she gets all the leads and they handle those, not me.
I love it. It's brilliant. Let's educate the listeners out there on how you go about building out your lists up front.
Yep.
To target these people. Like, what does that process look like and what does it cost you?
Okay, that's perfect. So we use a service, DataTree. The Priced has that program as well. They're hooked into an API feed with DataTree, but DataTree is a first American company. We're allowed to pull essentially a list for almost, I think it's 98% of the counties in the country. So you can say, hey, if I want this state or I want this county and I want between 10 acres and 100 acre properties, I want the owners to be out of state or out of county, I can select all that and it builds it and it shoots it out in a raw Excel file for me. The cost on that, they're different tiers depending on what you do. I pay anywhere from 3 to 5 cents a name that comes out.
So relatively inexpensive in the overall, game of things. We've been using DataTree for years. They're a great company. Can't say anything good stuff about them. We use them for a different piece, not for really land, but they're a great data company, man. They have everything you could possibly imagine you're going to need to build your list. And like, now that we're on that, let's just take our time to like talk about this. When you're going to do real estate investing, right? The number one thing is marketing is the lifeblood of every business. And so in your niche, just like in, if you're going to be buying and flipping or wholesaling or whatever your thing is, land development, it all comes down to marketing to the people who are going to be responsive to sell. Building your list is the foundational basis of every type of marketing program. If you don't have a good list that you're going to be able to target and go after, you're basically pissing in the wind, right? Yep. I mean, it's not going to be a good feeling. You're going to get all wet and disgusting. So if you're listening and you're getting into this business or you're in it, you want to start growing and scaling, getting your list dialed in is the foundational, most important thing that you can do. Once you get that list, and I want you to listen to what Justin was saying, he has his message to market. He does a blind offer and sends it out specifically talking to those landowners, and he's getting 1 out of 1,000. I mean, these numbers, that for a $1,500 investment, like you said, you got 21 properties yielded 70,000. Brother, those numbers are like serious dollars.
Yeah.
In the world we live in today, and I don't know if these numbers are panning out for you now, but I know in our world, with the marketing dollars that we're spending, if you're getting 3 or 4 times your investment, 1,000 in, 4,000 out, that's like great numbers right now. Back in the day, we were doing Google, we were doing telemarketing. We were getting 7 to 10 for every dollar we were spending in return, but I'm not seeing that these days. Are you still seeing your numbers at that like high?
Yeah, so my product type is, the asset class I'm buying now has changed a little bit. Like, so for instance, those range from 5 acre to 40 acres in the desert. The last mailing campaign, I'll just say the last Q4 last year, we sent out 9,000 pieces of mail and it yielded back about $210,000 in profit because we went for a bigger
product. 9,000 mail, which cost you about $4,500.
Yep. Yeah.
That's insane.
So, and that came from, we had 6 deals off 1 3,000 plot and they were 90,000 and then another $150,000 profit off another one big ranch. So we were able to pick up, and you hit the nail on the head when you say you have to identify your niche and what you're looking for and understand that scalability of it. So your inbound pipeline is your lifeline for real estate investing. So how do you fill it up? Like, what are you doing? And for me, like you said, it's blind offers, but identifying who the person is that's typically going to sell to you. You're not going to buy a property from a man that has 2 acres yielded off and he owns 160 acres next to him, because that's what he makes his money off of, his cows, his family's been there. The generational land, that the people still live on it, they have an emotional attachment to it. And so then you get kind of into the house flipping thing. They're only going to sell if there's a really big problem. Now, if you take a owner that lives out of state and has raw land somewhere else, their emotions aren't really as close to that piece of land unless they just bought it. But you have somebody that you're looking for that opportunity. And a lot of times that's grandma left this to mom and dad who left it to kid. Yeah. And if you can figure out how to fix the deeds because they didn't do it right in the will, you've opened up a whole nother leg. And last year, what saved us through COVID is we knew how to do that in the state we were working. And we spent a ton of money on, we sent out a 50,000 piece mailer. So we spent, after data, phone calls and everything, it cost us 30 grand to run this piece of mail. We ended up making 210 grand back, which is low for us normally. But the day we hit go, 5 days later, COVID hit and shut down everything. Yep. So we had 280 people tell us yes, that they wanted to sell to us or counter offered, but we couldn't get them closed because you couldn't get into the counties to do the abstracting. So they just kind of fizzled out, the leads fizzled out, and we could never get them done. We couldn't get into court to get the deeds cleaned up. But with the five we were able to, we ended up making 210 grand off of it. So what a bad day.
I'm hearing you. And that, listen, seven times your money is still phenomenal. Yeah. I know in your world it is. In our world, it's like home run, right?
Yep.
So you said something. You need two things that I want to make sure the audience listen. You said with your lists, you're really going after out-of-state owners. So that's one of the criteria for your avatar. And then you said you're looking to solve problems.
Yep.
So is there a way that you target these people who may have title issues? Is there something in data or no? It's just kind of like the mixed stuff that comes in.
Yeah. So the data doesn't really tell us that, because you can't see if grandma still shows on the title, but she's been long gone. It's hard to get that out of the data, just coming out of data tree. So it's knowing what to do when it comes back. And you see it and you're like, okay, hey, it says Thelma Louise, but this is John reaching out. Hey, John, who's Thelma Louise? Oh, that's my grandma. Yeah, she passed away. She gave it to my parents. My parents passed away. Now what can we do? And every state is specific on how you can work around that. And knowing that little piece is, it helps you save a deal that you would have just turned away because, oh, I can't fix it. I don't know how. Or you spend some time, maybe invest it with an attorney in that state and says, hey, I got this. Can you help me with that? Some states it's easy. Some states it's really tough.
So do you leverage genealogists at all to go through and assist you with figuring out the title issues and doing a family tree and making this come to fruition?
No, some of the states you can use like affidavit of heirships. Like it's like, hey, this is, they fill that out for you. Other states, we can quiet the title. We can say, hey, we can do it this way and be able to work around it. Some states, you just have to get other people's signatures. And you're like, hey, we got to have a quick claim deed from everybody here so we can get their rights over to one person and let them sell. Sometimes it's easy. It's like an estate's there and we just got to make sure the estate still can sell the property. Sometimes the work's been done and they just didn't realize it and we're able to do that. Sometimes it's a probate, get their turn, the will's probated. But it's all very state specific in what you can and can't do.
Yeah, for sure. So I know in New York, New Jersey, we solve like mega title problems. Like that's our niche. We know when we have a seller who's looking to sell and there's a laundry list of issues with the title business or the title side, we come in and we'll invest $2,500 to $7,000 in some cases to pay on their behalf because they don't have the money to do this, to solve the problem. Some of these cases, Justin, it takes us 6 months to a year to go through and unravel all the bullshit. But I can tell you firsthand that when you come in and you put on your problem solving hat and you have a means in which to get the cash that's tied up in those properties, which they can't access because of all these legal title issues, when you're able to solve those problems, you're going to make ridiculous, and legally, you should make a big fat payday because you're coming in and doing what others cannot do. Sellers are still getting a very fair offer, but you have the know-how, the knowledge of how to actually come in and fix, that's where you make your money. So think about it like in the world of healthcare. When you're a general practitioner, your doctor who went to school, that's a general practitioner, let's just call it he's making $150,000 a year. Now let's go to that brain surgeon who's a specialist. This guy's making $150,000 for 6 hours of work because of what he knows, right? So it's the game in which we're playing. And the point I want to get across to the listeners is when you're getting into this, if you become a problem solver, if you really understand the nuances of how to really go in deep and solve problems. With us, New York and New Jersey, when we have title issues, probate side, we have estate issues, we first go down the road of hiring a genealogist. That person is going to do an in-depth understanding of exactly who's involved with the family tree. Because the first thing you do is untie the deal, know who the heirs are. Sometimes we go nine levels deep. Grandkids had grandkids. They died. They had kids, divorces. When you invest that much time and energy and money up front going through it and then have the understanding of on the legal side how to unravel it and address it, you're turning $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 renovation deals into $150,000, $175,000, $200,000 profit deals simply by solving problems.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And we see that somebody early on said, if you can figure out deaths on a deed, you have $1 million business. And so from coming from corporate America, where my day started at 5 a.m, to going on my own from 5 to 6 a.m, I spent an hour a day Googling and just things like that. Okay, if I'm working in Oklahoma, what is the process to clean up the title in Oklahoma? What is a deed protected property and how to fix those type things? So if I had something that was given to an Indian back then or Native American, given to them and their heirs wanted to sell it, how could I unravel it to sell it? And what is the process to do that? Because the normal investor looks at it and they go, oh, it's protected deed. They can't sell it.
Yep.
Well, no, they can. Life is not designed where you just lose property. It's designed for it to move. You just have to understand
the steps and the legal mechanisms in order to make that happen.
Yep.
Yeah, genius, bro. That's why you're doing as well as you are, because you're peeling that onion back and you go in levels deep.
Yep.
You're not brokering land. You're really solving serious problems. And you're also systematized. I mean, look, you came in and you said, it sounds like you're a single yourself and your partner. It's just you two guys doing this.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of subcontractors that are doing all the heavy lifting for you.
Yep.
Talk about, you touched on it briefly, the whole back end. So are you pre-selling your properties? You have your buyer's list already like pre-designed and you doing like reverse wholesaling land or?
No, I don't. We have some buyers that we know work certain areas we'll reach out to, but what we've started doing over the last 2 years where we really saw our profit margins rise was coming straight to market with it and using using the top land brokers in those areas. And so like, for instance, I have an agent in Oklahoma. She sold 25 properties for me. So when I call her, she knows she's going to make money. She's like, oh yeah, Justin's got another one for me. And sure. So she'll look at that and she'll go out of her normal area just because it's a deal that she knows I'm easy to work with. She knows I know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell her, hey, this is what I think it sells for. She'll double check the comps and be like, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe we go a little bit higher, but I know you don't want to maximize. You just want to turn it. And so you do that in enough areas, you start to build those relationships with the top companies, the top brokerages. And so that they help you out a little bit more than just being Joe Blow off the street.
Bro, it's all about the relationship. If you have yourself a solid team of people who are A players and know how to execute, like the last week and a half on Facebook, I've had maybe a half dozen people because I'm posting about deals we're doing. Like, oh, you're killing it. And I'm like, oh, I'm not killing it.
Yeah.
My freaking team is killing it. This ain't the Billy Show. Like,
yeah.
The guys and girls that I have working with me understand my vision, believe in my vision, and they execute at the highest level because of them, the company's successful. And whether it's a vendor, it's your employees, it's your 1099 subs, whoever it may be, they're part of your team. And without them, without having them support us, dude, like we wouldn't be doing what we're doing.
No, you're exactly right. Our print company, we've put 500 clients into their company. We're their number one non-employee sales company for them because so many people run for them. Like we had a live event last year. She's like, hey, I have to be there so I can at least buy everybody drinks. So she came, flew out and bought happy hour for our live event. But I talked to her this week and she goes, hey, we've got this thing. It's been bothering me. And I said, well, here's what I need because I'm putting together a little direct mail thing. I said, I want to have pricing options because right now we have one standard pricing option, but we have people that do it a couple different ways. Can you make this for me? Within 2 hours, her art department put together new graphics. It's already priced and everything is back to me. So I have it ready for my clients so they can make little tweaks to their business if they want to. So like you said, having the best in the business on your team is what you strive for. You don't need to build out 30 employees if you can put the right subs and the right people, the right vendors in place that understand the vision and what we're trying to do.
Agreed, brother. Agreed. Wholeheartedly, I agree. So let's get into your podcast. What is your podcast about?
It originally started as Our Journey as Land Investing. And we talk about the different things we've touched into. Early on, it was all about land, but we started using to do a little bit more with, like, I'm in a process of buying a 7-unit apartment complex with 7 units to add. I've used blind offers to buy multifamily before, just use a letter of intent with a price against it and see if we can get the door open to go through the inspection period. My partner, he is a real estate agent as well. And so this year we started to use some of the tricks that we used in land for him as an agent and geo-targeting for leads to come in. And he doesn't go knock on doors for it. They come to him. And it's been amazing to see his business take off this year. So we're doing that. We're talking about the big developments we're doing now. We've got two big subdivides going on. One of them's huge and we're about to close on it. And we've already got buyers lining up for it. It's 2,424 acres that we're splitting up into ranchettes, $500,000 ranchettes.
And are you guys building that out?
What's that?
Are you building it out?
No, we're roads, wells for each place and power for each place, but that's it. So it won't
divide it and then sell the land off.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. And so, yeah, it's, I don't want to call it a paper subdivide because we are doing a little bit of development piece, but you know, we're buying it like $1,350 an acre and we underwrote it at 2,100 comp show, $2,500 an acre is what it should go for. That's so crazy. You have 2,400 acres like that and you got buyers lining up already. The cool thing is it fits a niche. In Texas, we have a lot of people that like to hunt. You have seasons. I don't know how much your listeners know about hunting, but you have seasons. You have whitetail, big deer. But in Texas, you have some exotics and you can hunt them year round. So if you're a business owner, a high net worth individual, and you want to hunt year round because you want to take your clients or your friends out to your ranch to hunt, we have what's Axis and Barbados sheep out there so they can hunt those year round. And so they have their big whitetail, it's game managed. And they also have these other exotics they can hunt too. And so we're taking a $3.5 million property and bringing it down to them for $500,000. But when it's all said and done, it underwrites out between 5.2 and $6 million is what comes back to us.
Dude, I can't. Congratulations on your success, bro. You've been doing this for 4 years. Like yep. In the world of real estate investing, I would consider you on the newer side.
Yeah, I agree.
You're far from new because you're absolutely fucking crushing it.
Yeah.
What did you earn over the last, you said, I think the last time we spoke, it was like $7 million.
We've bought $15 million worth of real estate for about $7.5 million. And so you pay out partners and you come back and forth. So it's been the kind of everybody that dream. I'm 39 and my dream early on, because I grew up kind of meager. I'm not going to give you a whole backstory about growing up hard and living that life. Looking back, I had what I needed. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, because you get on these podcasts and you hear the person, oh, my childhood was so rough. Didn't have Christmas presents, didn't do this, didn't know my dad, didn't, you know, things like that. But that forms who we are. That pressure early on and having to still know that you can be successful in whatever it is. So yes, we've generated about $7.5 million in equity doing this in 4 years, but I don't ever look at it as how much cash is sitting there because I put it all back to work. I mean, I still need to eat. I still want to go. So, but now we're at a point where at Christmas this year, I had $1 million in cash out working in raw land. You start peeling that off and putting it into other projects. You do a subdivide. You do try to buy an apartment complex, start building mailbox money. Yep. And we have about 50 mortgages out right now that we've got on land deals that are coming in every month. So we're building that mechanism to take that equity and put it to work and start to grow that passive piece as well. Because at the end of the day, I think we know time and freedom is the ultimate goal. But to do that, we forget that you have to have money compounding to do that. And so you got to put that seed money in there.
You're being very strategic with the way in which you're leveraging the cash that's coming in.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys, Justin, and you said you're 39. So a lot of guys that start making money in this business at any age, generally it's the younger ones. Sometimes you see it in the 30s.
Yeah.
Rarely you see it in the 50s because they're a lot wiser. But they come in, they start making money. And instead of them reinvesting it into their business or into assets that are going to give them a return monthly, they buy the fucking cars, they buy the big houses, they're flashing the Rolex. And look, I'm not against that. I love it. I love the good life. I love that stuff. But there's a time to invest, or I shouldn't even say invest because it's not invest. There's a time to spend your money on that. And it's not in the early stages of building your business. In the early stages, it's live meager, live below your means, invest every dollar possible. And I wish I would have taken this advice when I was 26 years old and I grew that mortgage bank because I was pissing my money away. I had houses all over the country and they weren't investment homes. They were second and third homes and fourth homes and fifth homes that never got used.
Yeah.
And so it's smart that you're doing that. Talk, if you will, on your strategy. You said you have about 50 mortgages out. So tell the listeners on what you do. I know basically what it is, but I want you to tell them you're taking this property down and instead of the people buying it with their own cash, you're acting as a lender.
Yeah, that's great. So I told you earlier, I typically offer 27 to 35 cents on a dollar for a property. When I go to market, I will always offer owner financing and I offer it with 30% down and I offer 10% interest and I'll hold the note for 12 years. So this person, as long as they can come with, there's no credit check, depending on what they're wanting to do with it, whether I go traditional like a deed of trust or actual mortgage with it, or I do what's called a land contract or a contract for deed, depending on what term you like better. So we go either way. But what that does is it allows me to have another exit strategy of the property. So if I'm getting 30 cents on a dollar down, and that's typically what I paid for it, and then I'm taking my profit and saying, hey, over 12 years, you're getting it at 10% interest. With amortization the way it is, you front load that profit and you're killing it for the next 12 years. You get those built in, you have mailbox money coming in. You have your original money that you had to work with, and you go back to work with that, but you kept that other money just turning. And it's
smart.
Yeah, it allows me to kind of save a little bit, because you hit something that I love is I'm a car guy. I love cars. Like but I hold myself back every month from going and buying a super exotic, just because, not because I want to flash it. I just love the visceral experience of cars. I've owned a couple 65 Shelby Cobras, like backdraft models. I've owned the Z28, the 2015 Z28. I've owned several Cobras and Mustangs and just things like that. And so right now I have a 92 Fox body. It's a summer edition car, 30,000 original miles, but it's just because I like cars. I drive a Raptor as my daily driver, but you know, that's a business expense. I own a land company, right? Over 6,000 pounds. I got to go off and check the land sometimes. There's different ways to do that, but I always tell my clients to turn your money three times before you go out and make that big purchase, because what seems to happen, I have a joint venture company. I was the first in the country to say, I will joint venture with you on a raw land deal based on the merits of the deal. That's it. I don't need your credit. It's not a loan. You bring me the deal. If it's worth 3X, I'll put the money up for it. You sell it. We split the profit 50-50. And we were able to help so many people doing that over the last 3 years that the most common thing happens is they make that first flip. They make 10 grand. They go take their wife on vacation. They go buy this wheel or the wheels for their truck, or they go do something that they normally wouldn't have been able to do, versus taking that 10 grand, putting it back into marketing and calling me back saying, Justin, I got three more properties now. Let's do another couple of deals. I've got one guy that's done exactly what I listened to. I think last year we did 9 properties together. This year we've already closed 3 together. Like, we've bought and sold, went through the sales cycle, but he's doing them on his own now. And that was the whole intent, was like, hey, we'll get you up and going. You put your money back to work.
Yeah.
We'll keep it going. And so when he calls me, when he has either a tricky deal or a deal he just can't afford because he's got his money out working too much right now.
It's a smart way for you to do more deals by leveraging yourself and partnering up with people. We do the same thing.
Yep.
Multiple states. And I know in the beginning, like, I know it's only a matter of time before they understand what they're doing. They do it on their own.
Yep.
But I still, if you build that relationship, I still have deals today that I'm doing from guys that I started 8, 9, 10 years ago. Mm. And they're still JVing with me for one reason, because when they have a problem property, they know we can solve it. Or if they have a property that needs a lot of cash, they know we can come in and we could do a turnkey deal with them. We could put the money up. We can analyze the property, negotiate with the seller if we need to negotiate with the seller, take the property down, renovate it, do everything carte blanche, and then come up with a joint venture split and that particular property. And they're basically just bringing the deal in and then hands off. It's a win for them. It's a win for us. It's a smart way to build your business. And look, there's no better feeling than getting people started in this business, whether they're on your team full time and you're showing them how to make money, or you're joint venture with people out in the field. It's a great feeling to be able to educate and then watch them actually execute after they educate them.
It's a great question. There's two cool things. I got two cool stories on just deals like that. One of them, the husband, he'd done a few deals with us, and his wife told him, these people have made you so much money. They live in New York. We're in Texas, and we're having a live event here in Texas. His wife said, you need to go down there and see them. They've made you so much money. You can buy a plane ticket and go spend a night in a hotel and see them, guys. So he comes down and his wife comes with him. And then she tells me that you gave me my husband back. That to me is where you get that fire back and you see that growth. The second one is I did a deal with a guy and I didn't know his personal, like what he was going through. We did 3 deals real close together with him. And I hadn't heard from him for a couple months. I was like, hey man, just send him an email. Hey man, I want to check on you. I hadn't heard from you in a couple months. Just hope all is well. And he said, dude, the 3 deals you did with me gave me enough money to get my daughter back in custody. She was in a really bad situation with her mom and I got her back. And I just wanted to tell you, thank you. That's the only reason I wanted to flip a few pieces of land. You gave me the money to do it. I got my daughter back and all's well with the world. And the guy killed it doing it, but it changed his life and it changed her life and impacted it. And so for me, I came in this, if I can impact somebody's life and make it a little bit better, then I did my job. I don't care money, whatever. My kids are getting to see me more because I'm home now. My wife gets to see me more because I'm not chasing that corporate wheel. But at the end of the day, it's that little bit of extra that we can put back out in the world to hopefully impact multiple people.
That's what it's about, bro. It's about giving back and impacting lives.
Yep.
Look, you have been gracious, giving me 40 something minutes of your time today. I know you have a product. You have a product in the land space, and we're going to be putting that on BillySecrets.com. We're going to be adding a link for the listeners and I don't know what you give, a discount or what it is.
Yeah, so we're knocking we got a land flipping blueprint. If you want to learn how to do it, we're knocking $500 off. Normal price is $24.95. I think it's $19.95 on there. For your listeners, I'll get you the link for that for it. Even if you're one of those people that says, hey, I don't know that this is a deal, I have an ebook out there. It's $9, $9.99. It talks about buying real estate for the price of your coffee a month, spending $50 on a piece of real estate. We made a ton of money early on doing this. We'd buy property from the state of Arkansas for $50, sell it on eBay for $500. I had an employee, that was her full-time job. It was to do 20 of those a month. That was what she was given. And me and her split the money 50-50. I put up all the money, she'd just sit back there and she'd make it. And she got paid when she sold them and she enjoyed it. She has since moved on and helped another guy build his land company, and they do really well. We're actually doing a subdivide together in Texarkana. But you know, that for your listeners, we got that $500 off. If you like what we hear, CasualFridaysREI.com. CasualFridaysREI is our podcast. It is every Friday now. It used to be 3 days a week. And like I said, there's 325 episodes. And they're short. They're 15 minutes. They're designed for you to listen to on your way to work. So yeah, I do appreciate you letting me come on, Billy.
Yeah, Justin, listen, man, you and I did not know each other before this, but I think we're going to definitely remain friends because you're my type of individual. You're a giver.
Yeah.
And you're a hustler and you're somebody who persevered. You lost your job and you didn't allow that to define who you were. You actually went out and did what you wanted to do. So love getting to meet you, bro. Love interviewing you. This has been a great show. You brought a special little niche to my listener base because you're the first guy.
Oh, nice. First.
You always remember me first, right?
Somebody's going to come in and do it better. But we've been doing it for a while, so we kind of got an idea of what's going on.
It's great, brother. And listen, if I could ever help you with anything, if you ever need any help at all in anything, JV on deals, something comes across your desk, hook up with me for sure, bro.
Likewise. Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks.
Peace out.